Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Have the ball. Oh, look at this run. What a run. Marshawn Lynch. Still on his feet. Ken Falkers now. He's dancing his way. To the touchdown.
Until it's right out. Oh, just another lonely night. Are you willing?
So the most NFL pregame show on Ship to Shore Radio. Yes, you know that theme song. It's time for the Southernmost NFL pregame show with the Zen Man, and I would like to introduce Evil Rob to the show. What's going on, Evil?
Oh, I'm doing good tonight, Zen Man. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, too. I had work today, but got it out early. I was able to watch pretty much all the two games going on today. And, you know, normally I have a Sunday morning show and all the games follow that, but didn't really know what to do this weekend since we have two games today and two games tomorrow. But how about one right in between? Let's talk about the two games today and the two games tomorrow. But how about the two games today, the first game? Let's talk about Cincinnati and Houston. I did my own little playoff pool, had seven people, and four picked Cincinnati, three picked Houston. I picked Houston. Who did you pick?
I had Cincinnati. I screwed that pooch and took Cincinnati.
Yeah, I had Houston, man. I know they lost three of their last three games of the season, but I thought Andre Johnson being healthy. I had this team win the Super Bowl, honestly, before they lost their two quarterbacks. Obviously, I wasn't so, you know, onto them when they were starting Gates. But even then, when they first started out, I thought they were going to be all right. But they got Andre Johnson back, and I think that was the biggest key. When you have him, he was still a little injured. He still had 90 yards. And Foster, 23 carries, 153, two touchdowns. I think they played great. I still think they have a shot at the Super Bowl. Still a little faint for me, but I think they definitely started out good. What were you most what kind of caught your eye today in that game?
Well, I said it before, and I'll say it again, that today's game came down to one thing, the running backs. It was Cedric Benson against Arian Foster. We both know that, you know, Andy Dalton's a good rookie quarterback, and A.J. Yates is a good rookie quarterback. We know that Andre Johnson and, you know, Green are great receivers, and we knew that they were going to be stellar performances on both sides at that point. But what it's going to come down to is the running backs. Cedric Benson did not do anything. He had, what, like 60 yards rushing, and Foster had touchdowns and 90?
Benson had like 14 yards rushing.
14, yeah. Okay. So, excuse me. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I was giving him a lot more credit than he deserved.
Yeah, I know is Dalton was the second leading rusher, and he had 17 yards, so Benson was below that.
Yeah, so there's nothing you can do. If your primary running back cannot outrush your quarterback, and you don't have Michael Vick or Cam Newton, you're in trouble.
Right.
Plain and simple.
Yeah, no question, man. I honestly, the Bengals, I mean, I was impressed with them. I mean, they had a tough division. They still made the playoffs. They didn't beat the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Ravens all year, but they still managed to get in. So I've been impressed with the young team. I still think they have a lot to celebrate this year. Anyways, definitely shouldn't hang their heads too high on this one. Houston's a good team. Really, really good team all around, honestly. I don't think Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati had two really good players and a decent defense, so. Like you said, Benson didn't come out. You can't – there's no way – I mean, obviously, that's just Houston's game. They have a great rush defense, but
yeah.
When you don't run the ball, you're not going to have any success. There's just no way.
Yeah, exactly. And there's one thing that people don't realize with what Cincinnati dealt with. They had a rookie quarterback and a rookie number one receiver. And what that says right there to everybody else is, oh, yeah, they're rookies. They can mold themselves together. Well, the hard part is they're both learning how to read defenses at the same time. And when you can't, when you don't know how to read defense, if you're a rookie quarterback and you got veteran receivers, you can figure out what they're going to do and see how they react to defenses because they know how to read the pro-style defense. But when you got a rookie receiver as well that doesn't know how to read the pro-style defense, just like you don't know how to read the pro-style defense, it creates a lot of problems. And they overcame that right away, and they kind of molded themselves together into one unit. And with Jerome Simpson as well, who's really never been a big star player, you know, that team is going to be a scary team if they get a couple cogs on defense.
No question. I think
because their offense is just, their offense is gelling, and they just need, you know, a couple cogs on defense and maybe one or two linemen to step in and protect that run because they need to get the run to set the pass up.
Yeah, right, right. And, I mean, that's what it came down today. I mean, you already have Andre Johnson. If he's on the field, he's going to be a threat. And when you know, it helps – it goes in contrast, you know, when it complements each other. When you have a good running game, the defense is going to have to try to stop the run, and then it's going to make the passing game even better, vice versa. So I think it just came down to Arian Foster. And, you know, I know he's a great running back, but it's his first playoff game. So a little – you know, you didn't know exactly how he was going to react, but that was – I mean, him – doing 150 yards opened up the entire game. It gave the whole team confidence, and it also just opened up the wide receiver, the passing game big time. And you saw Andre Johnson just have a big game. He was wide open on one play. And I think Houston just had much more confidence, honestly. And I do credit Cincinnati. I think they had a great confidence to give all the credit in the world to Andy Dalton and what he was able to accomplish. But I think the stronger team just was Houston. There was just no way Cincinnati could stop them.
I thought they could, and I was wrong. You know, that's why we do this stuff, you know, because we can be right, we can be wrong, but you know what? People still listen.
Yeah, well, I mean, Houston had all the, you know, like I said, three straight losses, losing to Tennessee, and they lost one of them to the Colts. Definitely, you got to question their confidence coming out of the game, but they still had confidence. So that shows a lot from them, I think.
Yeah, and other than the running back deal, the big reason why I took Cincinnati today is because I'm a firm believer in comeback wins. Meaning, if you play a team in the regular season and you beat them, like Houston beat Cincinnati on a last-second touchdown this year.
Game.
You know, I'm very big on that team that lost coming back and winning in the playoffs. It happens more times than not. And that's the primary reason I took Cincinnati. But when you have no running game whatsoever, you know, like you said, 14 yards rushing or whatever it was, you can't win a game when your primary running back doesn't break 20 yards rushing. It's impossible.
It's impossible. Yeah, I've never heard of it. I mean, I can understand maybe a quarterback just being horrible and that just a really great defense. That happens every once in a while, like maybe with the 49ers or the Ravens a few years back. But, they didn't have anything going today. So
yeah, even with the Ravens back in the day, you know, they would win. They would get the rushing yards, but they couldn't get the passing yards or the passing touchdowns. All they had was the run. I mean, it's just like the whole Tim Tebow effect. You know, the Broncos can go in and rush for 200 yards a game, but they only pass for 80.
Just like the 0-2 Bucks when they won the Super Bowl. Just stellar defense. Brad Johnson was one of the shittiest quarterbacks ever, but they had every other part of their team was pretty damn good. So.
Yes, and, you know, I was sitting there looking at things and saying, well, it's going to come down to the most high-powered offense this year. And who can put – because this is the year of the quarterback. This is the first time in history we've had five quarterbacks that went over 1,000 yards – or excuse me, over 5,000 yards passing?
Almost. It was three, but I'll give you five, honestly, because
– Oh, that's right, because there were two that were within 100 yards.
Aaron Rodgers was like 300 and some yards away, but he didn't play the last game. If he would have against the Lions, yes, he would have had 5,000. Eli Manning
was like 80 yards away.
60 yards away, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But either way, this is outrageous.
Yeah, but, you know, we had the first matchup in playoff history of 2 5,000-yard passing quarterbacks in the same, with the, you know, Stafford and Breeze. You know, I'm looking at going, this is going to be whoever scores the most points. But both games today came down to the running back. The Lions could not run. Kevin Smith could not do anything. He was back and he couldn't do anything. Just like Cedric Benson couldn't do anything. Both teams that couldn't run the ball lost the game. And both teams that could, as in Darren Sproles and Arian Foster, won hands down.
Well, let's move into that game. But what you're talking about, it is the Saints and the Lions. Saints, it was a really close game, honestly. Saints made it look ridiculous. It ended up being 45-28 Saints. Just a late start for them. I want to say it's all Lions. Lions actually had a touchdown. It would have been a 2-score lead for them. But because of one referee calling the wrong play, they had to stop. It was a fumble by Drew Brees that one referee thought it was a forward motion. So it was fumbled cleanly by the Lions. It would have been 21-7. Ended up being a dead ball spot, and they didn't score. And then they came down and at least cut the lead to 4 instead of being 14. But, yeah, Saints win 45-28. And I just want to comment on what you said before. I work at Sports Fanatic, and I get into a lot of arguments with people about sports all day long. And one argument this guy had to me was the 49ers he had picking winning the Super Bowl. And I said, you know what, you're right. Defense does win championships except for this year because I just don't think – now, I mean, in a normal year, yes, I think the 49ers in any other year would be just so goddamn good. But, I mean, their defense is probably one of the best I've seen in a long time. But there's too many high-powered offenses that they're going to have to go against, and I just don't think the offenses they're going to is so much better than their offense that the defense can't compensate. And I just think the Packers, the Saints, or if they get that far, the Patriots, I just don't think they're going to be able to stop them, honestly. So I don't give the 49ers any love in the playoffs, to be honest with you. I don't think they're going to move anywhere. What do you think?
It depends on who they play and where they play them. Because everybody is a hit and miss team. For instance, the Giants are a great team on the road. They're not a good team at home. The Saints and the Falcons are a good team at home, but not on the road. The Packers are just a damn good team no matter where they play.
Right.
So it depends on who they're playing and where they're playing. You know, the old adage has always been offense wins games, defense wins championships. And that's been proven time and time and time and time again. And I hate to go away from it, but right now, I look at it and say, it's going to be, no matter what it is, it's going to be a shootout. Because people were sitting there saying today that, oh, this is going to be a closer game, a lower scoring game than everybody thought. And a lot of people were betting the under at 59 points.
No way. You can't pick an under on that.
A lot of people were taking the under. I know a ton of people that were taking the under. And they all lost. I was one of the few that actually said that I personally know that took the over. And thank God I did because, you know, the Saints almost took that out on their own. But
right.
And in the first half, it looked like it was going to be that kind of a game, but it was the tale of two halves in this game. And as it is in quite a few NFL games where you get one team that dominates one half, another team that dominates the other half, and the second half team always wins. Well, this was a defensive-dominated first half and an offensive-dominated second half. Unfortunately, you know what happened? Two things. Like I said before, the Lions could not run the ball. Kevin Smith couldn't do anything. And the Saints stepped it up on defense, had two picks in the second half that were huge. So, yes, maybe this it could be who has the best defense, but you're still going to have to put the points up. And I don't see San Francisco being able to put the points up to compare with, or to compete with San Francisco, I'm sorry, to compete with Green Bay, the Giants, Atlanta, or New Orleans, any of the four.
And I'll give them credit. They have Frank Gore, and he's honestly, he's an elite running back. But if you don't have a passing game, he's just not. I mean, even if he does go for 150 yards, it's still not going to be enough to compete with these guys. The only chance they have is unless he can kind of just run. If they can keep the time of possession, I think that's going to be important. They got to just keep these scores low. That's the only chance they have. And I think that they're good enough to do that. And I think it'll be fun to watch. But like you said, on the road, I think it might be trouble for them. But I think
if New Orleans has to go, now there's no question that Green Bay is going to be at home. They're going to be playing San Francisco at home if they meet up. But anybody else will have to go to San Francisco. And that gives them a benefit. Because Atlanta's not good on the road. If Atlanta gets by the Giants, they're not good on the road. First of all, Matty Ice has yet to win a playoff game. He's Matty Ice cold in the playoffs. So that's numero uno. Number two, Eli Manning has yet to win a playoff game at home in his career. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens between those two. But either one, they're going to have to go on the road right now to New Orleans. And that right there says, what's going to happen there? The same thing that happened in this game. They're going to be able to compete for the first half, and then the second half, Breeze is going to come out and go nuts, because that's what Breeze does.
I don't want to correct you on that one, but the Saints will be playing the 49ers. And these guys are going to be playing the Packers on the road because they'll be the bottom seed no matter what. But either way.
If the Giants win, then it's
the number three team won, so they're going to play the number two seed no matter what. Just like the Houston's automatically going to play the Ravens. That's what they said, and I'm a little confused sometimes on like the seedings, but that kind of proves it right there. They said for sure the Texans are going to be playing the Ravens. Meaning, I know you're thinking, the Steelers won, they have a better record, but I guess because of their seeding, that they're still going to have to be the bottom seed. That's what they said earlier on ESPN. So, by that,
well, if the Giants win, the Giants are the 4th seed, the Atlanta is the 5th seed. So, okay, I'm trying to work this out right now. Now, New Orleans won; they're the 3 seed.
Right.
So, regardless of who wins, and San Francisco will be 1, 2, 3. Yeah. So you're right.
Right. Yeah.
Yes,
but either
way,
they're going to have to go on the road. They're still going to be on the road against an elite quarterback. So.
Right.
Whoever
wins the game between the Giants and Atlanta is going to Green Bay.
Exactly.
And the only team that has a chance to win in Green Bay are the Giants. Out of those two.
I don't know if you saw my stat the other day on Facebook. The Packers actually gave up more yards this year than they gained. I know a lot of that is because, you know, they're up by a lot and they play conservative and a lot of teams, you know, get a bunch of yards at the end. But I still pause for concern a little bit. I don't know, man. I know that they're a great team, but I think there's still a chance that the Falcons can still win. I think they have a good team, but I still think the Packers are obviously better.
I don't see the Falcons going on the road and beating Green Bay because, one, they're a dome team. Two, they're a speed team. And three, they just don't play well on the road. They are a night and day team.
No, they really are.
You know, Roddy White is aging. Matty Ice, like I said, he's yet to win a playoff game. And Michael Turner, he's one hit away from going down. And they really don't have a backup running back. They're the only team in the playoffs that does not have a backup running back.
But if they're all healthy, you got to still talk about Tony Gonzalez and Julio Jones. I think they have the weapons to give anybody a run for their money. I'm not saying that the Packers aren't going to be favored by 12 points, but at the same time, I still think they have a chance. because well, they
have regardless of them beating the Packers, we got to tell them to meet the Giants first because that still hasn't happened.
Well, for me not being a Giants fan, I'm just that game. I think is just I don't want to say a toss up, but I mean let's face it, the Falcons did have a better record. The Giants are still a great team, but they've obviously had a hit or miss season. So I'm looking at a game where we really have to break down and analyze. This game, it's just whoever shows up and plays well, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, Victor Cruz is probably the best guy on the field for either team. If he's probably going to have a big game, although it's probably his first playoff game. So it's whoever comes out to play, man, honestly. Bob Bradshaw is going to have to play well. We'll just see. I mean, you said Natty Ice is cold, but, I think in that division, they've always been a wild card team because of the Saints. So they've always been on the road for the first game. We'll see. We'll see what happens. And I don't know if I know you think that the Giants are going to win, but tell me your reasoning why the Giants are going to win.
The reasoning is plain and simple. This is the first time all season that the Giants are healthy and clicking. Tuck's been out. Uyunora's been out. Bradshaw's been hurt. And he still is hurt, but he's still playing. Jacobs is finally starting to run the ball like he used to run the ball. Straight up and down instead of zigzagging back and forth and hesitating at the line. There's a defensive structure right now. Perry Fuel finally has his crew together, and they're playing as a cohesive unit for the first time. Kiwanuku is accepting his role in the secondary now as a linebacker, and he's basically a huge run stop. Pierre Paul is probably in the running for, or is definitely in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. Uyunora's back, Tuck's back. The two huge defensive ends that should have been the co-Super Bowl MVPs in 2007 are back and healthy now. The Giants are prime to make a run right now. If they were ever prime, it's right now, and it's because their defense is just clicking. They've won despite not having a running game because Eli's been throwing the ball phenomenal this year. He shot his mouth off before the season started and got the whole thing of I'm the same league as Tom Brady. And he was right. They're both in the NFL. But at the same time, they're both right around 5,000-yard passers. The only difference in the stats, if you look at the stats line by line, the only difference is Eli has more interceptions.
Right.
Other than that, they're pretty much almost equal. And I'll tell you right now, the reason why Eli has more interceptions, tip passes.
Better, worse wide receivers, first of all. I mean, look at the New England side. Not only is their entire team based on passing the ball, we talk about Rob Gronkowski, Hernandez, Welker. That team is just ridiculous.
Stack of receivers. And, and Eli doesn't have that go-to dump-off like Gronkowski and Hernandez.
Right.
Brady has two dump-off guys. Eli has none.
Yeah. Makes all the difference.
Exactly. And, if it wasn't for Cruz, I guarantee the Giants wouldn't be in the playoffs right now.
Oh, that's not even a question. And not only you're talking about those two dump-off guys, don't forget about Welker, who's the most dangerous dump-off guy.
Oh.
So,
what was that dump-off 99-yard touchdown pass he had? Like week four?
that was more of a, I'm just going to let Welker do his thing, and he did. So.
Yeah, Brady even said, I expect to be like a 10, 20, maybe 30-yard play, and he was a guy I saw that was open, and I just dumped it to him, and he was on the 2-yard line when he caught it, and boom, he was gone.
And that right there. And that's a head scratcher from that close, from a half yard out.
Low percentage throw as well, Mike. And Henny's got to give his receiver a chance.
There's Brady out of the gun from the half yard line. Why not? So Wes Welker. Wes Welker pulling away, and he ties an NFL record with a 99-yard touchdown.
Does that bring back memories?
Oh, hell yeah. And Eli was the only other quarterback this year to throw a 99-yard touchdown pass.
Oh, that was to Victor Cruz last week or 2 weeks ago.
Against the Jets.
Jets, yeah. Yeah, man, I love Cruz, man.
I'm still really upset that he didn't make the Pro Bowl, but with injuries,
yeah,
he'll still get the nod.
I agree, he will. But that was that game. I don't want to drift off too much. We know who we both think is going to win the game, but there's still one more game to go tomorrow. That is the Steelers at the Broncos. I'll let you take this one. Who do you think is going to win?
I have to go with the Steelers. Even though Ben's hurt, Mendenhall's not playing, and who's the guy that has the sickle cell?
Ryan Clark,
yeah. And he won't be playing either, and that's a big hit to the Steelers. It's mm-hmm. a big hit against most teams, but Tebow doesn't throw the ball, so it's not that
exactly.
big of a hit.
Exactly. I was about to say, that secondary isn't really going to affect Tebow's passing. Really,
you know, Polamalu is the key to that team in the playoffs. I've been saying it for years, and what was it, 2 years ago when Polamalu was hurt and the Steelers were nothing? Now Polamalu is fully healthy. He's right there. He is that team. He's the heart and soul of that team, and he will lead them to victory in Denver, plain and simple.
Okay. Well, for the same reasons you said, not counting Polamalu, obviously I have tremendous respect for him. He's the hardest working defender I've seen in a long time. But I'm going to have to give – I'm just taking – this is honestly, to me, a toss-up. And I know I have tremendous respect, although I hate the Steelers. I hate Harrison to death.
But I agree. I agree 100% on that.
I'm taking the Broncos only because Tim Tebow, I know he's had a couple bad games in a row, like horrible games. But it's still Tim Tebow, and we all know the kind of person he is. I think when his back's on the wall, he does perform. That's why he doesn't do shit until there's 2 minutes left in the game. I think because of the injuries, I mean, you saw what Big Ben did against the 49ers, and yes, the 49ers are the 49ers, but at the same time, Big Ben, a healthy Big Ben, wouldn't have thrown three picks and only scored 3 points.
Right.
And he's not that hurt, but he's still in between where he can still play good, and that I don't know how he's going to play tomorrow, but I don't think he's going to be playing that great. And Denver does have a defense. I think it'll be low scoring. I have Broncos winning by a field goal. And I think it'll be close enough to where Tim Tebow will figure out. Well, I think his back's going to be against the wall the whole game. So I think he's definitely going to get a lot of mega talk, and he wants to prove everybody wrong, and he wants to win his first game. And I just think because they're at home, I don't know. I think the Broncos are going to win this game. That'll be the only game they win this playoffs, but I have them winning 5-3.
Well, if the Broncos do win, whichever team wins, I should say, whether it's the Broncos or the Steelers, it's going to be the only win they get, because with an unhealthy, as unhealthy as the Steelers are, there's no way that they can play anybody else in the playoffs. Whether it's Houston, Baltimore, or New England, and win.
Right.
They can't play them. They can't play against them as unhealthy as they are and expect to even compete.
And
the same thing with Denver. Same thing with Denver. You know,
that's not unhealthiness. That's just their bad team. I mean, I don't say they're bad.
McGahee is a huge part of that team, and he's still not 100%.
Well, honestly, I'll give you that because you know what? A run does respond to the passing. Tim Tebow doesn't have a passing game. He still runs 100 yards a game. So I'll give you that much.
If you know as a defense, you got to just throw 8 in the box, and because Tebow's not going to be throwing the ball, and just basically stop the run, you can shut that down. And especially when you got defenses like Houston and Baltimore against New England,
right?
Who knows what's going to happen? That's going to be a shootout because we all know what Tom Brady can do. We saw what happened a few weeks ago.
And I think, honestly, the Patriots' defense has gotten better as the year rolls on. So we'll see what happens there.
There's a key thing with the Patriots' defense that everyone is forgetting. And everyone's saying how bad the Patriots' defense is. Oh, they're horrible. They're ranked 31st or 30th or 31st or 32nd or whatever it is in the league in yards allowed and everything else. But in scoring defense, they're like 13. They're not giving up the points. Yes, they're giving up a ton of yards, but they're not giving up the points.
Same thing as the Packers. honestly, right. even though the Packers are even better, and they have more takeaways than anybody.
Exactly.
So.
And that's the key. It's not how many yards you give up. It's not how many, you know, 300-yard passing games or 100-yard rushing games. You know, was it the 49ers only giving up 200 or 300-yard rushing games or 2 or 3 touchdowns to running backs?
No,
this year.
They didn't give up any. They didn't give up any till the 15th game. They gave up one to Marshawn Lynch, and then they gave up 2 in the final game against the Rams. They gave one to Clemens, the quarterback. It was like a 19-yard run. I was astonished. I was like, what the hell? I don't know how that happened, but, yeah, 3 touchdowns all year. I didn't research it, but I'm almost positive that's a record. But I'm not 100%.
It wouldn't surprise me. And but it's the same deal. You can give up nothing, but if you're giving up the points, regardless of whether it's a rush or a pass, it doesn't matter. You're still getting the points. And the Patriots just aren't, and just like the Packers, like you mentioned, aren't giving up the points. And that's a huge deal. Yeah, they might have, like, blows against the Lions in last week of the season, gave up over 500 yards passing to Matthew Stafford. And luckily, they were able to outshine the offensive battle. With Matt Flynn, go figure.
I know, right? Insane.
But you know, that just shows what the team is about. And that's what the team was about last year, is overcoming not having somebody in the team. What was it? They had 17 starters out in the playoffs for the Super Bowl run from the opening day roster. 17 starters out, and they still won the Super Bowl. That's an incredible feat right there, and that's why, you know, the Packers are just a force to be reckoned with. You know, when you can drop not only an all-pro, but a, you know, MVP candidate. You know, there's two players that are basically MVP in the conversation for MVP this year. It's Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And when you take one of those candidates out and put somebody else in, a backup that hasn't taken a snap all year, throw him in the mix, and he throws 6 touchdown passes and wins a shootout with Detroit. Come on. That just says right there that your team is unstoppable.
Well, like you said, Detroit. It was against Detroit. Let's not forget about that. But let's just really quickly move on. I was going to go over the standings. It's pretty basic. I think you guys all know what the standings were to finish the season. We'll get into our final thoughts later on in the show, but I thought it'd be interesting to get into our award ceremonies and see what we have here. Damn, it had a great sound. It's always the last button you find,
isn't it?
I don't have that many buttons on here. I feel like I've looked forever. I know I had it, though. Let's listen to this great play.
And to have that kind of foot quickness and that good vision. And the other thing he is durable. He has averaged more carries per game than any back in the NFL over the last 3.5 years.
Well, I didn't find it because I don't have it, but I thought I had some applause to make it really official. But without further ado, let's get into my award ceremonies. And this time I have somebody else with their own awards and their own opinions. And let's kick it off with the MVP. We'll go back and forth with this. I'll go first on the MVP, and I had Drew Brees. I know it's pretty much unanimous in the ESPN as Aaron Rodgers, but to be honest with you, I mean, how do you not pick Drew Brees? He shattered the all-time single-season record that's been holding for 20 years. He ended up with 5,476 passing yards, 46 touchdowns, which was like 4 or 5 away from the record itself. And I just think, I mean, come on, he only had two more losses than Aaron Rodgers. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I just think if you look at the stats, I just think Drew Brees had it. But what do you think?
I have to agree, because with Drew Brees, because only because of what we were talking about before with Aaron Rodgers being out last week and the Packers still being able to throw for almost 500 yards in the game, six touchdown passes with Matt Flynn. That makes me look and say, wait a minute, what would happen if Drew Brees was out for a game? And that tells me, regardless of stats, regardless of who has the better stats, who has the most touchdown passes, who has the most yards, the MVP is who is the most valuable person to their team in the league. And last week proved to me that Aaron Rodgers is not that, but Drew Brees is.
Well, I had to look it up. Here's my trivia question of the day. Who is Drew Brees' backup quarterback?
He has one?
He does.
Have no clue.
It is Chase Daniel out of Missouri.
Wow.
Third season.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got 29 total yards. So, yeah.
In his NFL
just,
career.
I didn't know who he was, so I figured I might as well look it up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, same reason you just said. I totally agree with you. But let's move on. That's a continuous argument on everywhere. How about the best running back? I'll let you start it off.
This is hands down. There's no question in my mind that's Maurice Jones-Drew. When you lead the league in rushing, and you're the only player on the team that has anything, every defense was throwing the entire defense against the run, and he was still able to lead the league in rushing, lead the league in all-purpose yards. I'm sorry, he was second in the league in all-purpose yards as Darren Sproles. And it's only because Sproles takes kickoffs, too. But when you can do that and have Blaine Gabbert as your quarterback, have no receivers to mention, and still put up the over 1,600 yards rushing, that, to me, is right there, hands down, best running back.
I think maybe Ray Rice had more all-purpose yards, but we're talking about rushing the ball. And, yeah, you're totally right. You hit it on the nail, man. Honestly, just wow. No quarterback, no offense for that team whatsoever. And he still led the league in rushing. He had like 300 more than the next guy. First in the NFL. The only running back to rush over 100 yards a game. Everyone is saying, oh, he's getting older. Well, yeah, he just crushed everybody in rushing. So I wanted to find a reason to give somebody else the award, but I couldn't. So
yeah, I was the same way. I looked, and there was nobody else that even came close to him.
I was like, well, you know, LeSean McCoy had a bunch more touchdowns, but at the same time, he also was at the goal line probably twice as much with Michael Vick. Blaine Gabbert doesn't really give Maurice Jones-Drew a lot of touchdowns, so Maurice Jones-Drew kind of has to create it himself. But let's move on to their best wide receiver. I will probably agree with this. Even though you're a Victor Cruz fan, I have Calvin Johnson. He was not leading the NFL wide receiving yards until the last game where he got, I think, 244 yards. He now has 1,681 yards. He has more receiving yards than the leading rusher has rushing yards. First in the NFL, averaged over 17 a catch, over 100 a game, 16 touchdowns. Was first in the NFL in touchdowns, second actually to Rob Gronkowski, who was a tight end. He's such a beast. I know Stafford helped him out a little bit, but I think Calvin's responsible for Stafford's huge success as well. What do you think?
Well, when I was looking at this, I looked at two people right off the bat, and that was it. It was Calvin Johnson and Wes Welker. And
right.
I have to give the nod to Calvin Johnson for one reason and one reason only. Without Calvin Johnson, Matt Stafford has no one else to throw to. Pettigrew.
Not really.
Dave Burleson. They're not in the same league as Hernandez, Gronkowski, and Branch.
Branch,
they don't even deserve to be the same.
Garbage,
Branch is old, but still, he's that receiver that you look at and say, okay, he's a solid receiver. You throw the ball to him, he's going to catch it. He runs the perfect routes. He's right in the perfect position every single time. That's Branch's job. That's what he's done for years.
Okay.
And the Lions don't have somebody else like that. They have a couple guys that are just coming up and are doing their thing. So without Calvin Johnson, the Lions wouldn't be where they are, just like without Matt Stafford, they wouldn't be there where they are. But perfect example was last year when Stafford was out, Calvin Johnson was still making these amazing receptions. He makes the quarterback look good. And Wes Welker does the same thing, but not in the same plane as Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. This is going to be interesting. So I'm glad you could go first in this one. Your comeback player of the year.
This one, then, now, I'm not positive if he technically qualifies as comeback player of the year, but I give it to Matty Stafford because he's been out. He has yet to play a full season in the NFL. In fact, last year he was, I believe he was out more games than he actually played. This year he comes back, throws for 5,000 yards, has a team in the playoffs for the first time since, what was it, 97? I think it was.
Well, just more importantly, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they had zero wins. So
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Just a starting point as it's on its own.
Yeah, and so my definite comeback player of the year is Matty Stafford because he has not only come back from himself from injuries, but he's come back. He's brought the comeback team in Detroit from 2 years ago, like you said, zero wins to 10 wins this year in a playoff berth.
Okay. Mine was Steve Smith. Last year, honestly, I know he was. I looked at his stats overall in his career. Wow, like unbelievable. But last year, he didn't make any noise. Last year, 46 catches, 550 yards, 2 touchdowns. He played 14 games. I mean, that's decent. This year, 79 catches, basically 1,400 yards and 7 touchdowns. Obviously, I mean, you're probably a much better quarterback to help him out, but. I think Steve Smith did his part creating that chemistry with Cam Newton, and that's my pick, Steve Smith. I think you had a legit argument, honestly, but I'm going with Steve Smith. They brought life to Carolina, and even though they had not that many wins, I think they're definitely going to be a team to reckon with next year. So that was my pick.
They are definitely a team to look out for next year. And if Smith comes back again, I know he's getting older now. But if he comes back again and he is an anchor to that team, and he's basically the person that keeps Cam Newton in line.
Oh, with the stats that he had this year, there's no way that he can't come back next year. No way.
You never know what
he's
happens. You know.
Well, he's been waiting for a long time to have since Jake Del Holm to have a great quarterback. So I think he doesn't want to. If he's going to go out, he should have done it last year. Or at least wait a couple more years to see what Cam Newton can do.
When he had Jake Del Holm, he was still waiting for a great quarterback.
Hey, they made it to the Super Bowl. Come on now. They made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so did Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, but it was more of Jake Del Holm. Don't tell me the Carolina Panthers of 5 years ago had the same defense as Trent Dilfer.
No, definitely not.
Okay. All right, that's all I wanted you to say. All right, my one question is keeps popping in my head. I have to ask you, is Victor Cruz, he's not a rookie, is he?
No, he's not. This is actually, his fourth year in the league.
That's what I thought. I was thinking about him as a comeback player, but I don't think he's ever been anywhere, so I don't know if that qualifies.
Well,
I was just thinking about him.
He's always been a practice squad. He was a practice squad guy for about 2 years. I forget exactly who he was with before the Giants, but last year the Giants signed him. And he ended up getting hurt in the preseason, had a season-ending injury in the preseason, so he never was able to really do anything in the NFL. So it's nearly impossible. You almost want to give him Rookie of the Year because he's really never had a true rookie season. This is technically his true rookie season, but technically by stat or by NFL rule, it's well past that. Because he did have enough receptions because coming out the practice squad, playing a game or two, and doing this and that is, took all that away from
him. Yeah, I'm looking at his career stats. It says 2010, he only played 3 games, had no stats recorded till this year. He just ended up going for 16 games, 82 receptions, and over 1,500 yards. Nothing much. And a 99-yard touchdown. That's just long. he did all right. But let's really quickly move on to my defensive player. I had Jared Allen. I wanted to give it to somebody else, but I think sacks. I mean, I'm not just going to give it to whoever has most sacks, but 22 sacks this year, that's amazing for a team that sucks really bad. I'll give him 22 sacks, 48 tackles, 18 assisted, and not only did he have one pick, as a defensive end, you know, it's hard to get picks, but four forced fumbles. To keep that high level of play when you know you're not going to go anywhere, I have to credit Jared Allen on that. So I'm giving it to him. What do you think?
I give Jared Allen credit, but then this is where Evil Rob's going to come out. You know, Jared Allen, to me, is the MVP of the Special Olympics. He's a phenomenal athlete, but at the same time, he's still retarded because he's on the Vikings.
Was it because he punched some guy in the crotch? He gave him fair warning, man. He gave him fair warning.
That's not the issue. No, but, you know, it's like giving the MVP. You never hear an MVP from a losing team. And when the Vikings only win three games in a year, it's hard to say that the defensive player of the year can come from their team. You can't have the offensive player, you can't have the defensive player, you can't have anything really. You know, I give him credit. He was a half sack away from setting the record, but I have to give the defensive player of the year award to Jason Pierre-Paul. That kid in his second year in the league stepped up, was like, I think was fourth in the league in sacks. It was, I think he had 16, if I'm not mistaken.
16 and a half, I think. Yeah.
16 and a half. You know, and he's behind players like Jared Allen, who had 22 and broke the record, DeMarcus Ware, who are, you know, pure veterans. He led the team. He basically took on Justin Tuck and UC Urmaneer's role as the defensive leader the entire year and held that team together. Granted, I know a little bit more about him because I'm a Giants fan, but, you know, when it came down to it, who made the block of the field goal in the first Cowboys game? Pierre-Paul. Who had 2.5 sacks that game? When it came down to it, every time the Giants needed a stop, it was Pierre-Paul.
I'm laughing because it's the Cowboys, and I feel like not one – I know this is probably stupid to say, but even if he didn't get a hand on that ball, the Cowboys can't win again and save their lives, so they probably would have shanked it anyways. And two, the Cowboys are going to find a way to lose regardless. So I know you're not going to.
Jason Garrett did ice his own kicker.
One game he did. Oh yeah, he's what a funny team to think you guys almost. I think they were that close to making the playoffs, but nobody had them beating the Giants then. They play like shit, so what do you expect?
Exactly.
But let's move on. Let's move on to the Rookie of the Year. We both have Cam Newton. If you don't, you're well to talk after me. But to be the quarterback that he is and still break Peyton Manning's all-time passing rookie yards, over 4,000, 10th in the NFL in passing, 21 passing TDs, not to mention 706 rushing yards and 14 rushing touchdowns, which is second in the NFL. So what is that, 35 total touchdowns? I mean, not only did he not really play in college, he had 1 year where he really played, won Heisman, won the Super Bowl, not Super Bowl, the National Championship, and in 1 year in the NFL, he's already, in my mind, honestly, on the edge of being an elite quarterback. Next year, he's going to be. Everybody wants to say Andy Dalton. Yeah, Andy Dalton had a Rookie of the Year, you know, season, but there's just no comparison. So anything you want to add on that?
Well, I'm going with Andy Dalton. For
one reason.
Yes. And
you're evil.
I do agree that Cam Newton is absolutely phenomenal. He is an incredible athlete. He's an incredible quarterback. And he's probably, in the course of his career, going to be much better than Andy Dalton could even dream to be. But I give Andy Dalton a nod for one reason and one reason only. Win.
Playoffs.
Yeah. Andy Dalton led his team to the playoffs in a division that's much tougher than Cam Newton's.
They didn't beat those teams, though. I mean, they didn't. They didn't really come close to beating Pittsburgh or Baltimore. I know that they didn't lose.
Whether they beat those two teams or not, it doesn't matter. They still made the playoffs. Andy Dalton still had what was it? Was it 9 or 10 wins? I forget which one. Nine wins. Andy Dalton still had 9 wins. Cam Newton had 5. And that's what it comes down to. They're the spearhead. They're the leader of their teams. And Andy Dalton figured out how to win more games than Cam Newton did. And that's the only reason why I give it to Andy Dalton.
I'm going to say really quick, I think that the defenses of the teams, which the quarterbacks can't really do anything about, was a lot different. I don't think Carolina had anything close to Cincinnati's defense this year. All I'm going to add, and that contributes to half of winning games, to be honest with you. But you, I mean, I can't really argue with you on that one. You're the first person, including Trent Dilfer. And Trent Dilfer even said that Cam Newton was probably the rookie of the year. So, and he's the worst analyst in the world, but.
Well, there you go.
It's cool. I like to get.
No, he's not worse than Chris Collinsworth.
Or Jeff Van Gundy, but that's a whole other sport.
Exactly.
Well, let's move into my final award of the year. Coach of the year, who do you got?
Mr. Harbaugh. And I'm talking the Mr. Harbaugh from San Francisco. He might have lost the Battle of the Brothers, but he wins the Coach of the Year, because he basically took a team that was unchanged from last year and led them to a number 2 seed in the playoffs. It's something that I've never seen before, and I probably will never see again. And this guy, just whatever he did, whatever he changed the mentality of the players, was incredible, because the defense alone says everything about it.
Yeah, I can't really. That's going to say everything you basically just said, honestly. I mean, it was pretty much hands down, although I thought Cam Newton was hands down, but it's all right. You're always. You could have said that the Coach of the Year was, I don't know, Rex Ryan, but it's okay. But no question. They were the exact same team as last year. It really was. And now. They really weren't. The way they played was a whole completely different team. So, no question, Coach of the Year, Jim Harbaugh. And a couple more things. Really quick, how do you see the playoffs moving on? I guess, who do you have? If you had to pick the NFC championships and the AFC championships, and who's going to win and go to the Super Bowl, and who's going to win the Super Bowl, who do you got?
Well, I'd say
things kind of
cleared up a little bit, and seeing how everything is going to play out, the road still goes through Green Bay, and there's a big stop sign and a big U-turn sign for all teams coming into Green Bay. It's you turn around and go to hell home, because you ain't going to win in Green Bay. Plain and simple. The only team that has a chance to do that is the Giants, and I don't even see that happening. The Giants couldn't do it in the beginning, and they're not going to do it again. Green Bay
even to the Saints?
The Saints will not go into Green Bay and win. If Green Bay had to go to New Orleans, I would say New Orleans 100%.
Yeah.
But the Saints have to go to Green Bay. And the Saints are a dome team. They're used to playing in fair weather. They're used to a turf field where they can run. They're a speed-driven team. The Packers are used to the cold weather. They're used to everything and all the elements. They are going to win at home, plain and simple. And the AFC, it's going to come down to the Ravens and the Patriots. And I don't see the Ravens pulling it off. This is the first time they're in a home playoff atmosphere. Yes, they're going to win the games against Houston or Pittsburgh or Denver. But they're not going to be able to go on the road and go into New England and win that game. I just don't see it happening. I see New England has too many weapons. They proved it against Denver. When Denver shut down Gronkowski and Welker, and what ended up happening? Hernandez went for over 100 yards receiving and three touchdowns, and basically single-handedly won that game. That's the offense New England has. So I think it's going to be Green Bay against New England in a rematch of the Super Bowl from 10 years back, with Green Bay winning again.
Okay. Yeah, all right, well, I'm picking the Saints because of Drew Brees. I do have respect for Green Bay, but the Saints are just a whole different team right now. 8 straight wins. I know that's a much different atmosphere, and I think it'll be a very close game. I just think the confidence of Drew Brees, and I understand Aaron Rodgers is very confident himself, but I still think Drew Brees has the most confidence I've ever seen from any NFL player. So if it's a close game, I just think that he's going to win. I think it'll be the Saints in the Super Bowl. And I have the Ravens going as well. It probably will most likely go through the Patriots. And, the Patriots are at home, but I've seen the Ravens play defense in the playoffs, and it's scary. I mean, it really is. I mean, I know that the Patriots have a scary offense, but this is kind of where it comes down to defense wins championships, and I think it'll come down to that game. And I think because of the youth of the offense that now they have with Torrey Smith and Ray Rice and Anquan Boldin being a good leader, I really think that they're a better team. And I think it'll be a close game, but I think at the end the Ravens will step up and win that game. And the extra rest will definitely help that defense. The older defense that's still good, I think it'll help Ray, Lewis and Ed Reed get some, I just think it'll be a really good game. And I think the Ravens will play the Saints in the Super Bowl. And I think the Ravens will win because of defense. And like I said, I still think that offense is growing, and I think it's at a high level. And as much as I like the Texans, I think it'll be a really quick game for the Ravens to beat the Texans next week. So that's my theory. I have the Ravens winning, and you have the Packers winning. I can't argue with yours. Obviously, you picked the two number one teams, and they're number one for a reason. So
this is why we sit here and talk about this, because we both have valid points on everything, and there's a reason why they play the games. The same reason why we argue about it, because anything can happen, and
especially
that's what we love about the NFL, because anything can happen, especially now this year more than any other year. Who would have looked at and said the Broncos are going to make the playoffs after like 3 weeks in the season?
Oh, I actually, personally, like in my mind, I counted them out, and I actually had a surprise player.
I was on Alan's show.
Yeah.
I was on the Dreaded Sports Talk show, and it was, I don't know, like Tebow's second or third week after starting, and I said, well, the Broncos are only, two games out of a playoff spot. Look out. Kind of joking around, and everybody, and both
right.
Ken and Frank had read, they both just laughed. And like, well, I'm laughing too, but look out. And I was kind of in the back of my head sitting there thinking, wait a minute, this is a joke, but it could happen. And look what happened. They backed in the playoffs, and they got there. So anything can happen. I mean, theoretically, there's... what is it? 10 teams left right now. And any one of these 10 teams has a chance. They can all go on a run. They can all win one or two games and get there. So
I guess. Honestly, I don't believe that. I think out of the elite teams, maybe there's 6 of them. But I think for teams like the Broncos and the Giants, honestly, I think the Giants can still win it all, honestly, but there's a few teams in there that I just don't think have a chance. Texans being one of them, the Broncos, I don't know. I just think that there's too much elite team. I don't know. I just, we're looking at the Packers, the top 4 teams, and I don't know, man. They're too good. I know it's one game, so anything can happen, but it's going to be tough this year. But, like you said, it's been a very inconsistent year all along. I've been saying that since day one. So, well, anything can happen, but I just, honestly, it's going to be those same 4 teams down to the end, no matter what, I think. But really quick, my final thought, Houston winning the first playoff game that they've ever played today, losing the last 3 games, But now they have Andre Johnson being healthy, Arian Foster helping. I did pick him to win the Super Bowl, like I said earlier, but after Yates is now the starter, didn't see it happening. And I know I just said that I really don't think they have a chance, but they do if they have their players healthy, only because, which, I mean, let's hope they are healthy, but like I said, they're going to have to be on the road. They're going to play in Baltimore, one of the toughest places to play. Baltimore is one of two teams, or three teams, that are undefeated at home. So they maybe have a shot just because I think Andre Johnson is a freak of nature, but so is Calvin Johnson, and they didn't beat the Saints. But that's just congratulations to the Texans. Even with all the, you know, I think it helps that the Colts didn't have Peyton Manning, so they weren't really running against them for the division. But definitely good for them. And I think they have a lot of, if Sean comes back next year, I think they have a real good shot next year to win the Super Bowl. That's my final thought. And how about you?
Well, first things first, I want to congratulate everybody that is associated with the Detroit Lions franchise, because everyone said before the season started that they're going to be a turnaround team, that they're the team that's just going to be like almost like the comeback team of the year. And they held up to that. You know, granted, they didn't go to a championship game of any sort, but they still went and did what they had to do. They made the playoffs. You know, Stafford had a great year. Calvin Johnson had a great year. Kevin Smith even had a great year. And he was the biggest question mark going in because they said, could Kevin Smith run? Well, yes, he proved he could run. But, and so I want to say congratulations to everyone associated with the Detroit Lions franchise, because you proved that there can be a good team in Detroit.
Well, Jarvis Best should have been there to begin with, and he got a concussion and never was able to play.
Jarvis Best was never really that good to begin with. So,
I think he was better than Kevin Smith, in my opinion. But they're both mediocre running backs. Yeah. I think they're a few defensive players away from definitely being on the lead team. They can get a few more defensive players in the secondary. But continue.
Finally, I do want to say, look out for the New York Giants. Like I said before, they are healthy on defense for the first time all year long. They showed winning. They had to win three out of the last four games in order to make the playoffs. They did that in convincing fashion. They had to do a bunch of stuff all year long. Whenever they needed it, they won it. If they didn't have to, they didn't. Now it's win or go home. And they are showing signs of exactly what they showed in 2007 when they made their Super Bowl run. They're trying to play all the teams they lost to all year long. And going back to 2007, all the teams they played in the playoffs, they lost to in the regular season. And they beat them all in the playoffs. So look out for the New York Giants. I could be biting my words next week, but you know what? It is what it is, and I'm saying look out for the Giants. They are going to play spoiler in one way, shape, or form or another.
Yeah, they definitely have a lot of confidence in that team. So they've been there before. So, as a few teams there too. But I think you have a valid point. They are a good team. So good teams always have a chance, and I'll give you credit on that. And really quick, we have Tony Romo on the line. He's still, it's been a week after, but he's still not too thrilled about what happened.
Just thank God I didn't just take a drink, because that would have spit rum all over the goddamn room. That was great.
But with that, I want to say thank you to Evil Rob. You're a pleasure to talk to, and it shows are 10 times better when you get to argue with somebody, and it brings out your real opinions, and that's what makes a good show. And any last words?
I just want to say thank you then, man, because, you know, anytime I can get up here and argue sports with somebody that actually knows what the hell they're talking about, it's a good old time for me.
And with that, I'm going to play one great play and then the outro. And I want to say good luck to all your teams out there. And we'll see what happens next week. We'll have another show next week. Maybe the same time. We'll see. But look for join, just really quick, join Evil Rob with Captain Frank Dredd, his first mate, Ken, on Dredd Sports Talk. I believe it's at 10 o'clock on Tuesdays.
9 to 10:30.
All right. And join me, the Zen Man, the Sonomo Sports Trap, every Thursday night at 11. And because Evil Rob was on the show, I'm going to play a great play by Victor Cruz and then the outro, and I'll see you guys good night. Peace.
Peace.
Bannon on 3rd and 2, and the pass is caught for a first down, and Victor Cruz breaks free into Eagles territory, and he's still going. Victor Cruz is in for the touchdown, 74 yards.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Oh, look at this run. What a run. Marshawn Lynch. Still on his feet. Ken Walker's now. He's dancing his way. Gonna get down.
Are you willing to sacrifice your life?
To the most NFL pregame show on Ship to Shore Radio.